I literally stood at on the stage. We don't have a stage. I stood in front of the people at the first year and I kind of got teary. And I was like, you guys, I just want you all to know that this started as an idea. And it was an insane idea. But if you just push that aside and like you have an idea that you have conviction about and you just take the next step and then you take the next step and you just keep going, you're the only thing that's in your way.
Welcome to the Unblock Yourself Podcast, our show where we have conversations with people who have broken the mold, made a decision to live their lives off the beaten path. In these conversations, we look for the insights and advice they can give to help more of us do the same. Today, we're talking with Sam Yarbaugh, a certified powerhouse. Sam and her husband Jason are the founders of a business and movement called Arcadia, which is all about helping leaders become the best possible versions of themselves in their work and in their lives. If you're thinking, hey, this sounds a bit familiar to what Greg and Whitney talked about, you'd be right. Sam and Jason just ran their second retreat called Arcadia Leadership Experience, or ALX, have an awesome podcast called Friends with Benefits, and recently launched the Arcadia Constellation, a community of practice for leaders who want to make Arcadia a part of their everyday lives. All this to say, we love what they're doing and that they're doing it together. But we have to admit that when we first saw what they were doing, we were left thinking, oh no. Why would we even bother? But this is one of those great lessons from the episode. There's power in collaborating and sharing with people who have similar ideas to you. There's plenty of room for people who are looking to chase their dreams, and this conversation should be an encouragement to anyone who is thinking about trying something new but have seen somebody else doing it already. Sam left her full-time role as a leader in the high-tech industry to go all in on building Arcadia and shares the highs and lows that come with making that kind of change. Because, as she shares, chasing a dream might feel like the right thing to do for you, but most everyone else will think you're crazy for doing it. This episode is one of our favorites so far. Sam is personable, approachable, and real. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with one of our new best friends, Sam Yarbaugh. It's weird, because when we were just starting out on our journey, we're married, couple in the tech sector, hitting a new chapter of life, want to start a podcast, host a retreat. And then that sinking feeling happened one day when I went online and found another married couple in the tech sector who are in a new chapter of life, have a podcast, and are running a retreat. And it was a complete oh shit. And I think we've all had those moments in our lives where you have a dream of something you want to create, but then you see somebody else doing it and doing it well. And you go, well, there's no point. Why would I begin?
Yeah, we're like, Sam and Jason are already doing what we're trying to do. So you feel like our doppelgangers in Montana.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Well, the good news for you is, well, I think there's a lot of good news. A, I'm a firm believer in all ships rise and there's plenty of abundance in the world for everybody. But also, for better or worse, we decided to live in Montana and that has some headwinds when running a business. So
you know, that's such a good place to start because you probably hear this all the time, but we love Yellowstone. I actually looked up. I'm like, I know you're in Bozeman.
You're in Bozeman, yeah.
Yeah, Bozeman. And so I was like, how far away is that from Yellowstone? And I was mapping it out. But what's it like? What is life like in Montana?
It's glorious. So I'm from here, born and raised. And then I left for about 10 years. Jason is from North Carolina, which is where we met. And then we moved back here in 2017. It's in my very jaded or not jaded, skewed opinion. It's the best place to raise a family. But, you know, I think for me personally, growing up here, the mountains are like, they are a part of who I am and I need them around to like feel grounded and feel happy. And so we spend all of our time outside. Like we camp, we hike, we fish, we ski. We do a lot of trail running. So it's like a huge part of who we are and what we do. And it's been a privilege to raise our kids here and have them see that and experience that life. I think it's even more so important now with the advent of social media and us spending time behind our screens. And so, you know, we love Montana. It's insanely expensive to live here, thanks to Beth Dutton.
Such a badass. Both of you are great representations of Beth Dutton, by the way, without the alcoholism and distracting.
Drop a few F-bombs to make it more.
We can definitely drop F-bombs. There's,
it's the badass, yeah. Badassness of you both is definitely what I'm referring to. The positive qualities.
I think I need to move to Montana. This is what I'm hearing.
Well, for sure, come visit. Let's start there, and then then we can decide.
Oh, it's such a big part of our life. We talk about that all the time because we just want to be outdoors. And I mean, it is beautiful. There's lots of beautiful parts to where we live, but we're definitely missing, I think, water. Although we're surrounded by water, but not that close. And yeah. I think the mountains makes a huge.
We definitely don't have mountains.
I will tell you. It is winter 9 months out of the year here, and that's not a joke. So You should be prepared.
Noted.
Well, we also watched 1923, the prequel to Yellowstone, and there you go, right?
Yeah.
The number of deaths in the winter in that show.
For sure.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's the real deal. Well, you mentioned South Carolina, and I wasn't – we have met before, Sam, but we hadn't – talked about some of the dips and dives of your career, marketing intern for a bit, and then doing a bit of marketing in the tech sector, and then some experience selling, for which we'll talk about some of your accolades there. But I guess without doing the full biography, are there some common threads if you look back on those different steps you took in your career?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, obviously, I'm most intimately familiar with my roadmap, but I think everybody has a very wavy road to get to where they are. So Jason, my husband, has a very similar winding background. I actually have an art degree. So I am an artist by trade. And then my parents, of course, were like, artists don't make money. So I went to graphic design, which honestly, I am so grateful that I did that. It has been one of the most helpful skills. I can design PowerPoints with the best of them. I am the creative everything for Arcadia. So it's a very helpful skill. And then I moved to North Carolina. I found my job on Twitter. I didn't know a soul. I got a job as a graphic designer for an ad agency where I was designing billboards for kind of the southeast of the U.S. And it was the best experience. I had to learn how to be very succinct with headlines. I had to work with really – like I worked with Dunkin' Donuts, and then I worked with a plumber down the street. I worked with Husqvarna and then like – the Humane Society. So it was such a great learning curve for me to like really get in the throes of like, who am I talking to? What are their personas? How can I help them solve their problems? And then have a creative outlet for that as well. And that's where I met Jason, not at that job, but in North Carolina, in Charlotte. And then life took us a million turns, went to marketing. Jason's actually the first person who fell into tech and partnerships. And he left that job at a company called PFL. And they were like, who the heck are we going to hire to replace you? Because he, much like myself, wears many hats and wasn't just doing partnerships, but was doing like videos and evangelism and marketing. And like the role he took up was so much bigger than just like drive pipeline. Or maybe the way in which he was driving pipeline was much more expansive. So anyways, he was like, you should hire my wife. And they kind of laughed. And then they were like, oh, wait, that's actually a great idea.
We should hire your wife.
So
says usually no employer ever.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
So it actually worked out in our favor because, you know, this was years ago, so I can say this now. But Jason left because they wouldn't give him a raise. And then they hired me. And I got like way more than the raise he was asking for. So we were like, you know, this is going to the same household, right? Like this worked out in our favor.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
That is actually, that's the best story. Like this needs to go everywhere. Is Jason hit the glass ceiling and you had to come in and get the raise that was really what the job demanded. Good on you, Sam. That's it.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of our intro into tech and partnerships. But it is really interesting because the partnership program that Jason built there was 100% different than what I came in and built. Not better or worse, just different. And so it kind of took us on different career trajectories from there. And I really found a thread in Salesforce and building partnerships there, which became kind of my expertise over the next few years. And then I took a job where literally all I did was consult people on how to build better partnerships with Salesforce. So I was the chief growth officer there for about 18 months. And that was my previous role to now. And I just left that role in June to go all in on Arcadia.
I definitely want to dig into Arcadia, and I just want everyone to know about it. And we'll definitely put the links in the notes and all of that. But I just relate to you so much. I think when Greg was learning more about your story, he's like, you and Sam are just so similar. I was tech sector, huge relationships. I was more in the sales and CS side, but I know you were top 100 sales. I saw something on your LinkedIn.
Yeah, that I don't know how I ended up on that list, but I did. So
okay. Well, you did. So, and in a recent, I think it was a newsletter that came out, it basically said you had kind of explained how you felt like, you know, you're making more money than you could have imagined when you were younger. You were kind of on top of your game, but you felt like, and I think Jason had said to you that you had lost your spark. So mm-hmm. I definitely felt that in the role I was in. And, you know, I sold one of the biggest deals in the company history. And I was like, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah,
you know, great. It sounds like now it was kind of similar to what you experienced. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, once he said that or you recognized that, like, how did you actually start that process of finding your spark again?
Well, Whitney, you hit me right in the Achilles heel. This is still a process, honestly. Yeah. So I left my role in June, and there's a huge identity crisis that goes along with that, to be totally frank. Like, for the longest time, I feel like, at least for me, you graduate from college or whatever, and all you do is like, okay, now I'm going to like progress my career, and I'm going to get the next title, and I'm going to get the next salary, and I'm going to get, you know, mm-hmm. and I did that. And I, you know, I was chief growth officer. I had an amazing salary, and then it just wasn't it, you know? And I didn't really know it wasn't it until a few people called me out on it. My husband being one. Mm-hmm. Because I was just in the motions, just like, okay, well, I go to work every day. This is what I do. I'm good at what I do. And then I'm going to close my computer and then go home to my family. And you think that you can just like silo these two worlds, and you can't. So we have two young kids. They're 4 and 6. And, you know, Jason and I have a really lovely relationship. And I thought that I was like, work's over here. But then my life's over here and it's great. And it mm-hmm. wasn't happening. And I had to have a few people call me out on that. And so I quit my job. I'm full-time on Arcadia, which is very different than being chief growth officer for a company. And so the identity crisis that comes along with that is pretty real. You know, I wake up a lot and I'm like, I don't have a salary. Like, you know,
same girl.
You guys are Canadian, but I wake up and I'm like, I don't have a 401k. Where's the, you know, like all the things that I felt like were really important and these milestones. And don't get me wrong, they are important. We do want to retire and I do want to pay our mortgage. They've just changed in the way that I approach them. And that's not like a switch. It's an ongoing process that I have to keep reminding myself of and doing work around.
Yeah, for sure. We talk a lot about resistance in like the programs mm-hmm. that we run. And so it's like self-doubt and, you know, like imposter syndrome and all of these things. And then like friends and family too. And I'm curious if you bumped into that, where did you have like some friends and family being like, are you crazy, Sam? What are you doing?
I still do. It's so obvious. Like probably 3 times a day, people will call or text me and be like, so when are you going to get a job? Every day.
Yeah, totally. We actually had a friend and we haven't seen them for a couple of weeks, and we bumped into them and he was like, he literally said, so how's that little project you guys are working on going? Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, it's like a little bit more than a little project.
It's like everything we're doing.
Yeah. kind of like our whole heart and soul. But yeah, sure, you could describe it as a little project.
And I think that's an interesting conversation. That's been part of the like identity thing that I'm going through, is I have to continue to remind myself of like, I am working. It's just in a very different capacity. And it's not like the traditional go to work 9 to 5, close your computer. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And I think society is just more comfortable with that. I've been more ingrained to be more comfortable with that. And so that's part of the constant reminder too of like, I do have a job, you know, like we have a great neighborhood. I have a couple mom friends on the street that don't work, and they call me all the time at like 2 p.m. and they're like, well, you're not working.
Yeah.
Let's do something.
You can come for a walk or.
Yeah. I am working. They're like, but you don't have a job. And I'm like, I made my own job.
Like, yeah, I do.
It's such a hard thing for people to get their head around.
I think this could be. This is a future, like a future episode of another whole conversation, because I think it's the reluctance to step outside of the norm, the reluctance to invest in things that you feel called to. There's what's easier, and then there's what you might feel called to do. We spend a lot of time working with people on that very same thing.
Yeah.
But we've been circling around it for a while. Let's talk about Arcadia. Tell us about it. We'd love to hear a little bit about what you're building with Arcadia, and at the core, what Arcadia has been built or set up to achieve.
I was actually on LinkedIn yesterday and I looked and it said, I've been working for Arcadia for 1 year and 9 months. So we started 1 year and 9 months ago. Arcadia at its whole means harmony. Okay. So this has very much been an evolving journey. Good partnership people build harmony within their organizations and with the ecosystem around them. So I was working full time. Jason went off into consulting and he found the word Arcadia, and it just like hit him hard and was like, this is it. This is what we need to do. And so he started consulting under the guise of Arcadia, of like, let me help go-to-market teams build harmony within their organizations. And then we had this crazy idea of like, we live in Montana. People often are like really fascinated with that. What if we hosted a conference in Montana for go-to-market leaders where we took them completely out of their normal surroundings, and helped them build better connections with the network that they have? Because Jason and I have spent years on the conference circuit, like many of you have, and it's just draining. So we hosted our first retreat. We called it an unconference back in the day. Two summers ago now, at a glamping community, glamping resort here in Montana. And we had no idea what we were doing or kind of what we were getting ourselves into. First of all, to like sell that idea to go-to-market leaders was way harder than we talked about. Greg and I talked about this of like, wait, you want me to camp and there's like not very good internet and there's potential bears? Yeah. Are you out of your mind? So the first year, our goal was 50. We got about 45 people to come. The other huge part of Arcadia is building relationships through experiences. So we were very articulate in that we didn't want this to just be like a keynote session. So every day we'd meet from like 9 to 12, and we'd have very conversational keynotes. And in the afternoon, we'd break out and you could go fly fishing, hiking. This year we did flower pressing, tea making. We did a sound bath. So you get with these peers and you have these really experiential moments where you're actually conversing with people and you get to know them beyond the title. So the first year sounds like much similar to your guys' retreat, which, by the way, congratulations. But the feedback was like more than we had ever anticipated. And we were, you know, kind of shocked. Obviously, I still am a little shocked. But we kind of just sat with that for a minute. We're like, there's something here. Like, people need this. They need this connection. They need this ability to unplug and understand that we're all humans outside of our titles, and that we all have potential to create greatness for each other and within each other. So since then, since that first one, Arcadia has kind of shifted to all we do is we help leaders find the greatness within themselves. So find harmony within your life. And yeah, that does mean within your partner program too, but it also means with your spouse, with your friends, with your finances, with your health, with your community, with your job, so that you can show up and be the best version of yourself for all arenas of life. So we had our second retreat this summer. We had about 65 people this year.
Wow. Congrats. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And it was in Montana again, and it was 50 degrees in July. So everybody felt like they survived something, but that's a conversation for another time.
Greg showed me a picture of that you had sent
him.
Oh,
yes.
Yes. A toilet. And yeah, like
we had a 50 mile an hour wind storm that blew over. You guys should like put this in the show notes or whatever, but it blew over one of the porta potties. And it to give the listeners a graphical representation, it looked like the scene from Jurassic Park.
Oh my gosh.
Only the toilet was standing.
You're like, this is fine. Everything's fine, guys.
Yeah, just I'm like, don't worry. Just use the other
jump. You guys on yeah. the toilet.
Yeah. But yeah, tents blew over. Like, you know, this is event planning stuff, but it did become kind of a thing that everybody rallied around and, you know, we like got through it together. So yeah, so then we, you know, people kept asking, like, how do we make this more of a thing rather than 2 days in July? And so we just launched our Arcadia Constellation the 1st of September. And that is an online community where all we do is continue these conversations throughout the year. And we focus on a theme every month. And then we have a guest speaker come in and kind of kick us off with a theme. Last month we did The Power of Thought. And then our members mm-hmm. have small cohorts. We have larger roundtables. Just to kind of keep these themes and trends top of mind so people can actually grow and progress throughout the year. And because the other thing we like to say a lot is Arcadia is a mindset. Greatness is a mindset. And it's something you have to choose every day when you wake up. It's small, consistent steps. It's not large, grandiose motions. And our retreat in July is a large, grandiose motion. People walk away and they feel so inspired and amazing. And that's awesome. And we want to keep doing that. But real change happens on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the constellation exists. And we have, in our first month, we have about 32 people. And we're going to cap it at 200. So we're growing. And it's all a journey.
That's so great. The work you guys are doing is just so important. There are a lot of parallels. It's, you know, I think there's some differences, but a lot of parallels. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like we kind of position it as like living intentionally, but it's completely that's what you guys are doing too. You know, it's like being intentional with the work that you're doing and the connections you're building and the messages you're putting out into the world. So that's very cool. Hey there, quick pause and we'll get right back to the show. In January, we launched Unblock Yourself, a program designed to help people take action on an idea or a professional change that they're looking to make. Since then, we've run three groups. Unblockers have launched new businesses or side hustles, they've changed careers and launched initiatives to power social change. If I'm honest, we wanted it to be good, but it's been even more powerful than we could have ever imagined. Our next group kicks off in January, where we'll be helping another group of people start the new year strong and in action. If anything I said excites you or scares you, it might be what you're looking for. Learn more at vienna-weights.com/unblockyourself or email us at unblockyourself@vienna-weights.com. All right, back to the show. I'm curious because we just ran our first retreat last week, actually. So
congratulations.
I think we're still, thank you. It was great. We had 19 people there and I think we're still coming down off of that high. I actually don't know when we will.
I mean, it'll be months never, probably.
By the sounds of it. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say like, oh my gosh, how do you like recover from that? But yeah, do you have any, Was there any surprises or like aha moments, you know, something maybe went, was unexpected, but in the best way, like any big takeaways or aha moments that you had?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a ton. So let me do two, if that's okay.
That is okay.
One, this was kind of, I literally stood at, on the stage. We don't have a stage. I stood in front of the people at the first year and I kind of got teary and I was like, you guys, I just want you all to know that this being Arcadia, started as an idea. And it was an insane idea, like literally insane. And that moment of standing in front of all those people and seeing them there was so kind of transformational for me. That word, I feel like it's gotten really buzzy, but it was true in that moment of like, wow, anybody can have an idea and all they have to do is go do it. And like, of course, in the go do it, there's so many complications and whatnot, but I feel like we all get in our head so often of like, who's going to come glamping in Montana? There's bears, you know, like all the reasons that we shouldn't do that. But if you just push that aside and like you have an idea that you have conviction about and you just take the next step and then you take the next step and you just keep going, you're the only thing that's in your way. And that was like such an awesome moment for me. I keep coming back to that often, honestly, because, you know, we walk up against hurdles all the time. And again, like, is everything going to work out? Are we going to be successful in everything we do? Probably not, but we're going to learn a ton. And, you know, at least you can say you tried. And so that was a huge moment for me of like, wow, we really are capable of so much more than we think we are. And, you know, I put on a conference, for God's sake. It's not like I went to the moon, but it was a big undertaking.
It is. Yeah.
I think that it was a really good first step to be like, we can do this. And then secondly, the other thing that I thought was really noteworthy, and this is an obvious statement, but we're all human. And I think that we under index on that often. This year for our retreat, we did like 50% content on go-to-market, 50% on leadership development and self-development. And I was really nervous about this, you guys. I was like, I'm the one who wants this self-development, leader development kind of thing. I don't really know if anybody else is going to be into this. And, you know, we had one woman who called us afterwards and was like, I don't think you understand what a big deal that was. You gave my kids their mom back. And
wow.
I was like, okay, my life's work is done. Like, you know, we didn't set out to do that. We set out to create a space for leaders to safely and bravely invest in themselves. And the ripple effects of that are enormous. And so I think, especially in the tech world, we all put on these masks of, I am a chief growth officer and this is what I do. But giving people a space to say, I'm also a mom and this is hard. And, you know, I am struggling traveling so much for work or whatever it is that we're dealing with. Like, people need and crave those spaces and they need space to just feel human. And that was a big takeaway this year that I was really grateful for, and I feel honored to be able to even just like host a venue for that.
We can relate to this in such a big way ourselves, and something that Whitney might kill me for saying this, but we stepped away from Waypoint retreat and we're reflecting on the experience, and I was looking at how people reacted in such a big way to Whitney, and I was like, I'm getting great feedback and I love what we're doing. I'm not getting as many people saying, great job, Greg, or whatever. And I was okay with that.
Are you, though?
Reach out to Greg.
Greg needs your love.
Yeah.
But it was so great, I think, because I believe when I see Whitney doing things that she's incredible at it. And I don't know that she believes it as much herself.
Whole other topic.
I know, whole other podcast conversation. But
where I'm going with this is Whitney turned to me and she's like, you're just not as authentic as I am.
Well, not you're learning to be more authentic, and, I'd say. But
yeah. And so there's something to be said for us, very similar, that we wanted to create this space and we set a goal and we just did it. And everything that you just shared resonated with us. And we had a similar reflection and moment. Mm-hmm. And even in doing that, I'm 15 years in the tech sector as a leader, leading one of these things. And I still can't get rid of the mask that I'm trying to be in charge. And this is the talk. This is
totally,
these are the 3 points to remember from every session. I always had 3 points, 3 freaking points. But I think there's something really to be said for how hard it is to get authentic and real. And you said it to me, Sam, going into it, you're like, Greg, just remember 2 things. Be present and be authentic, and then everything else will be fine.
One thing I've been doing a lot of like study on, and this is going to get woo-woo for a second, but is energy, and the energy we put out into the world is what's reciprocated. And I fully believe that. So, you know, I think what I told you is like the details are going to work themselves out. Your toilet may blow over, but if you show up with the right energy, people are going to see that and receive that from you. And that's not something that you can just be like, okay, the right energy. Like you have to do the work and like be in the right space. And that's constant, you know, conversations and reminders with yourself too. This, I don't know where you guys want to take this, but one thing I want to point out really quickly is obviously Jason's in Vegas right now. Otherwise he would make a cameo, but
yeah, we wanted a Jason cameo. It's all good. We'll save it for next time.
I can
yeah,
hold up
yeah.
like a little cutout. So we obviously have a married relationship as well, much like you guys. And I think what you guys just talked about there was really cool to witness because we have those same conversations too. And Jason and I were both leaders in our own right, in our own companies that we did our own thing at. And now we're together. And I think there's a little bit of ego at play there. And we're very open about talking about this with each other. But like, it's very obvious to me that Jason is the people person, which is shocking because I am as people person as they get. But between the two of us, Jason is the Whitney. People flock to him. They confide in him. Like people meet Jason at the airport and then 20 minutes later, he knows their whole life story. Like that is just the type of human that he is. I am much less empathetic and much more like, what's our plan? Let's get it done. And knowing that is such a good thing because we just can stay in our lanes. And it's not to say that I don't reach out to our members and talk to them and facilitate and build great relationships. I do. But we also know that I'm the one that's going to like, here's our plan. This is our schedule. Like I am the day of coordinator for the events. I am the person running all the logistics on the community. And it works really well because we've had to learn where our strengths and weaknesses are as a couple so that we can be good business partners.
Yeah, it's huge. And what's so cool too is being able to see each other in that light. If you were working at different companies, you don't necessarily, you know, get to see your partner presenting or, you know, like kicking ass at whatever they're doing. So I think it's really, that's what's cool for us too. I mean, we actually had worked together at a company in the past, but yeah, it is neat. And we work well together. Sounds like you guys do too.
Yeah.
There's something really sexy about seeing your partner at work. It's where they're at their best. And it like work Greg is way sexier than dad Greg. Dad Greg's awesome, but work Greg is sexier.
Well, I don't know. I think dad Jason is like the tops.
I love that.
Oh, well, that's great for you. I don't know that Whitney has those same feelings, but that is great. Great for you, Jason.
Now we're going into the friends with benefits territory.
Yeah, I know. Okay, perfect transition.
That is a perfect transition. One of the things that I did when I had that oh shit moment of seeing that there's a version of what we would love to create out in the world, doing a great job at it, I thought, okay, I'm going to listen to their podcast and I really hope it sucks because then that'll give me the confidence to, that we can go and build. But you guys have a great podcast.
Thank you.
Called Friends with Benefits Podcast. Personal, couple of favorite episodes from me, and I think I've shared this with you before, but you had Sam Jacobs, who's the CEO of Pavilion, on really early on in your podcast journey, and just the story of building Pavilion and a community is so aligned to what you build. Ned Eric is a more recent, and that was a great episode. And then Mara Gleason Olson, which I know she's near and dear to your heart. Those are three of my favorite episodes. You do, unfortunately, to that gremlin, Greg, you have a great podcast, but it's a great thing. And so curious, how does the podcast fit with Arcadia and what Arcadia is about, or is it something separate and just another way for you and Jason to be creative and tell stories in a different way?
Well, first of all, thank you for those kind words. I'd like to say that when we launched Arcadia, we had this like perfect plan, and that's not the case. We've very much been like, let's throw stuff against the wall and see what fits. So I honestly can't remember. I think the podcast has been around a little bit longer than Arcadia, but we launched the podcast. You guys, literally, I wish we would have taken a picture because it was one of those moments. But here, Sam, being the one that's like, let's get it done. I was like, if we're going to launch a podcast, we're going to launch a podcast. Let's like do it. And so it was like that moment was like 8:30. The kids were in bed. I had just taken a shower. So I'm literally upstairs in my bathrobe with Jason on his Riverside. And we're humming the intro, which we made up on the spot.
I love your intro.
Thank you. Good. And it was like, okay, well, now we have an intro. So now we have a podcast. And it was just like, here we go. And so Jason is a highly creative human as well. He came up with the title Friends with Benefits, which has a few meanings. Friends with Benefits, in a partnership world, we make friends with our other companies and they have benefits for the company. Obviously, we're married, so you can do the math there. But it just kind of became this funny thing. We're like, let's see how it goes. And much like Arcadia has taken a winding path, this started as very much of a partnership podcast, go-to-market podcast. It's still going to be that, but we're going to start to sprinkle in kind of more of these leadership developments. Honestly, Greg, most of the episodes you called out lean that direction anyways. And so we're relaunching in October.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
We're really excited. We have a few episodes that we've already recorded. And yeah, so it's just another great way to talk to awesome leaders who are doing great work. Like we started the show, I'm a firm believer that all ships rise. And so the more we can highlight people that are doing awesome things and creating good ripples in the world, the better.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you just kind of hummed the your intro. Because I think so many people can get stuck, right? And be like, oh, it needs to be perfect. And, you know, get like swallowed up by this perfectionism, again, that's showing up as resistance. And you're just like, nope, let's just do it. It's good enough. Great. We pumped it. Let's go. So it's just like action, right? Like keep moving. So you guys are doing it. And that's awesome. You're like, you're doing the things. Curious, a lot of people that listen to the podcast are feeling a bit stuck or not sure what their next move is or feeling a bit blocked in some way. So curious what advice you'd give somebody that might be feeling the way both you and I were feeling back then before you kind of take those bold moves.
I mean, I feel like this advice can vary from person to person. I think this the most simple form of this, and this sounds so like trite because it is so simple, is you just got to do like the first step. And I find myself in this trap too, but like I want to know, because I'm a planner, I want to know the end result and I want to know like what that means in detail and how we're going to get there in every step along the way. And I've done this a lot in my life where I've either not started or stopped things because I didn't know those answers. And what I'm learning is you will never know those answers. And so I think even if you did know those answers, once you start to take the first few steps, you're probably going to pivot. And the roadmap that you created from the very beginning is going to be useless to you because you're changing directions based on what you're learning throughout the journey. And so take the first step. That's really it. I mean, like, you know, we hummed our intro to our podcast. The risk tolerance for that is very low. Okay, we have a podcast, it failed, whatever. We put on a retreat. Like,
yeah,
the retreat was not low risk. Like, we didn't have a business to pay for this. Like, we got sponsors, but the rest of it was like, this is out of pocket. And it turned out, you know, and did I have everything buttoned up? Absolutely not. But I think that there's a beauty in that too, because we've lived in a world that's so perfect and buttoned up, and brands are, you know, whatever, they're bulletproof, and that's getting exhausting for people. So letting people see along the way of like, I'm very open and honest with people, like in the community. I'm like, listen, guys, I am not pretending like I have all the answers, because I don't. Please tell me what you want. Let's build this together. So I think letting go of the perfectionism and just trying things. You don't have to like have a finished product before you launch, because if you do, it might fail and then you've put everything into it. Whereas if you just take the first step, at least you can learn and try and change.
Where we started in our journey with this was imagining that what Vienna Waits would be would just be some content and some inspirational. And then we would figure out a way to maybe there's a business here, maybe not, but it wasn't designed from the start with a master plan of being an exit strategy from one life and a step into the other. It started as, well, how can we offer direction or thoughtfully guide people to be more intentional in how they are living life? And
basically, I really liked inspirational quotes.
There's like a good, it's a good starting point to go from.
I love it.
That is not, yeah, not, that is the makings of a business plan. Between Arcadia and Vienna Waits, there's like a, there's a collaborative partnership to take on the post-secondary institutions of the world.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. But it evolved to, maybe there's a structured way to facilitate somebody putting one step in front of the other through a program that we call Unblock Yourself, that was really just about some structured programming that said, here's how to organize an idea into a set of steps, a connection with a group of other people that are trying to do the same thing, and then the accountability to stay in lockstep over a 3-month period to actually build a habit out of action. Mm-hmm. And we've seen people be incredibly successful with that. The person who spoke at our retreat started in our program in January, and not to credit ourselves with his success, but he did it, right? In January, he said, I want to start a speaking business. And then in September, he was speaking at the retreat, and it was awesome. And I think that notion of one step after the other is such great advice. But even for people who have been in our program, some of them just get stuck in the, I'm just trying to get this part perfect and the website. And so it's hard. It's so hard. And it doesn't need to be. So I think we just want to remind that is great advice over and over and over again.
And it's going to change a million times. Like, you guys, I've rewritten my website copy maybe 69 times.
Yeah. Like, it's very specific.
Yeah. But we've already launched, so it's out there. Like, you know.
It's so funny, right? We came across StoryBrand. I don't know if you read that. Story, yeah. And then we're like, okay, well, we have to throw out everything we've done and completely redo all of our messaging to match the StoryBrand framework. So, yeah.
And then you're going to read a new framework and you're going to have to throw it all out again, start over again. So,
yeah. Yeah.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Totally.
Love that. I think that's great advice. And as a closing question that we like to ask everybody, Sam, what is one book or podcast that you would recommend as something that's been inspirational or helpful to you, or maybe just something you enjoy? This doesn't have to be too heady, whichever direction you want to take it.
Well, right now I am in the middle of Inner Excellence. Have you guys read this?
No, tell me more.
Okay, you need to read it. Jim, hold on. I should know this because I'm going to tell
you. Jim Murphy.
Yes, thank you. It's phenomenal. It's very, very good. And Jim has a story kind of like this of like just getting started. And this book is written in the guise of being helpful for professional athletes, but it's really helpful for just leaders. And the way that we approach our mind and control that resistance, like whatever language you want to use about it, but kind of how you pursue your purpose and the way that you get over hurdles. It's an excellent book. So I think he has a podcast too that I have not yet dug into. But yeah, I'm a self-development junkie. So if anybody wants to jam on that, you just let me know. And I got days, podcast, books, the whole deal. So I will say I have to read fiction at night before bed. And then I am a huge like audiobook podcast person. Because if I read something like that before bed, then I'm like, I have a business idea. I can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write it down. Yeah. So good. Oh, Sam, this has been so great. Greg, have you met Jason?
Yeah.
You met Jason one time, right? Okay. Well, I'm really looking forward to meeting Jason. So maybe we can do this again with the two of you at some point.
We'd love that. Yeah. And I'm rooting for you guys. I think you guys are doing great work. So congratulations on your retreat. Here's to many, many more.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Thank you for listening to the Unblock Yourself podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate the podcast. Your ratings and feedback mean the world to us. We'd love to stay connected with you via our bi-weekly newsletter called The Vienna Five, where we share ideas and advice that we found helpful on our own journey to live with more intention. You can also find us on LinkedIn and Instagram. For those Gen Z listeners out there, no, we're not on TikTok. But if enough of you ask for it, we'll just have to do it at some point. The links to find us on social are in the show notes. The Unblock Yourself podcast is edited and produced by Bespoke Productions Hub. Thank you for being here.